Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together. Lord, I thank you and I honor you. You're good. There is none like you in all the earth. Lord, on this night, this is a night that many of us don't deserve to see, but you loved us enough to let us see it. Thank you, Lord, for being so gracious and patient and kind with us. And then forgive us, God, when we don't reciprocate how you treat us to others. Forgive us, God, for being so arrogant, Lord, that we demean others when you never demeaned us. Tonight, Lord, open our ears to this revelation knowledge. Allow our heart to be open and accept this revelation knowledge. And then, God, give us the strength to walk it out. In Jesus' name, give me strength to work this word today. Amen. All right. So, this evening, as we are working through, hey, y'all, good to see you. We start talking on Sunday about what makes a laborer. Now, we know the Bible says the harvest is ripe. The laborers are what?
You.
Right. So we do not have a harvest problem. There's plenty. We have a labor problem. We do not have a harvest problem. We have a labor problem. When I began this on Sunday, I gave you four things that are necessary in terms of understanding what makes a laborer. Four things. I said you have to rehearse the promise. This should all be recap. Rehearse the promise. You remember that you are an example. That's number two. You remain on the narrow path. And then refuse to walk by sight. So rehearse, remember, remain, refuse. So during tonight's lesson, I'm going to make my way back to Numbers 13, but there's no way I'll make it to Numbers 13 tonight. If I do, then that means I'm probably going way too fast. But we're going to get back to Numbers 13. But in so doing, I need to double down on some of these labor requirements. I got to double down on some of these labor requirements. Let me begin with three opening points. Y'all ready? Number one, you are not a laborer simply because you want to be a laborer. Y'all hear that? You are not a laborer simply because you want to be. Remember, I don't have a harvest problem. Whatever you're trying to harvest, there's plenty of that. You have a labor problem. I want you, everybody, at the beginning of this lesson tonight to think about the very thing that if you were to obtain it would change your life. Think about whatever you're trying to harvest, more joy, more peace, whatever that situation is. It can be something more tangible. Maybe your car don't run and you have issues there. You need to harvest a car. Whatever the situation is, there's plenty of cars. The issue's not the car. The issue's the laborer. There's plenty joy to go around. There's plenty happiness. There's plenty power to go around. The issue is not that. The issue is the laborer. Now, back to point one. You are not a laborer simply because you want to be. That is not enough. Because even though we spend a lot of time in our prayers, in your journals, in your planning, talking about what you want, sadly, we often ignore what is required. You can't just simply go around saying, I want this and I want that, and I want this and I want that, and do it, God. Y'all know amen, do it, God. And we sending God on all these missions of what to do. He's like, okay, here's what I require of you. Oh, I thought you was going to do everything, God. That's not the way it works. See, the availability of something, of obtaining that thing, is based upon your labor. You can't just talk about laboring and say you're a laborer. Number two, you are not a laborer simply because you talk about laboring. So the first one is you're not a laborer because you want to be. The second one, you're not a laborer because you talk about laboring. You can talk about it all you want to. That don't make you no laborer. That'd be like me talking about being a brain surgeon and becoming one. At some point, you got to enroll in school and you got to put the work in. So even though we now live in a time that celebrates what we talk about, watch this.
We live in a time that celebrates what we talk about. Talking about it and achieving it are not the same thing. We now live in an age, y'all, where many of us get high off of the dopamine rush of likes and comments when you simply say, look at what I'm gonna do. So if you were to go tonight on social media and say, I'm about to start a business, all of the likes and the comments that you get from that, for many, is enough, because you get high off of the euphoria, off of the dopamine that comes from everybody that appreciates and applauds you for even saying you're gonna do it. Now, you never even started the business, but you hype. You just said so. Same thing happens with being a laborer. So you can say you're gonna start the business. You can say you're gonna write the book. You can say you're gonna get married, but you're none of those things. You can say you're gonna be happy. You can say you're gonna have joy. You can say all of those, but you're none of those things. So wanting it is not enough. Talking about it is not enough. Here's the third one. You are not a laborer because you hang around other laborers. Oh man. Let's go back to number one. I see pens going. Number one, I'm not a laborer simply because I want to be. Number two, I'm not a laborer because I talk about laboring. Number three, I'm not a laborer because I hang around other laborers. Now, hear me, because I got to give some revelation here. You do benefit to proximity. However, the only way to benefit from proximity is to submit to it. The only way to benefit from proximity is to submit to it. Explain. Many of us have conflated submission and association. If you're simply associated with a thing, you're not submitted to the thing. Look at the word submission, to come under. To benefit from it, you got to come under it in order to benefit from the pour from it. I'll give it to you in more practical ways. Take the cup, put it next to the 2 liter. Just don't put it under the spigot. Just put it next to it. Then I want you to pour, not into the cup, pour next to it. That cup never benefits. It never gets full. You got proximity, but you don't have submission. Y'all see that? Let's go one more step about submission. Many of us keep saying that we're submitted, but you're only associated. Submission is only validated when you're asked to do something and you come under what you asked. If you've never been asked to come under the requirements of another, you're not submitted. Did y'all catch that? So we like being associated. That's like, I go to this church. That's my pastor, right? For many, just because you say I'm your pastor doesn't mean that I am. Does that make sense? Are y'all hearing me today? All right. So you are a laborer. What makes me a laborer? You are a laborer for the Lord when you actually labor for the Lord. Okay, let's go back to my points here. I'm not a laborer because I talk about it. I'm not a laborer simply because I want to be. I'm not a laborer because I hang around other laborers. I'm a laborer for the Lord when I actually labor. Like when I'm actually doing something. And we need to ask ourselves right here, am I actually laboring for the Lord or am I laboring for me? Who am I doing this for? Because even, watch this, when we go through some biblical steps, what are you praying for? Are you praying to talk to God or are you praying to get out of your trouble? Why are you studying your Bible? Are you studying the Bible to learn more about God, or are you studying your Bible because you hope that you can find the answers for your stuff in there? So are you studying the scripture as your get out of jail free card, or do you really want a relationship with God? Let's think about this for a second. Who is it for? Why are we doing this? Why you worship? Why? Are you in love, or are you just afraid of hell? Is your righteous behavior because you don't want to burn, or is your righteous behavior because you love God? See, fear is a powerful motivator, but it's not a lasting motivator. So Labor, I said before, I made this point before. Labor is not associated with sin. Sometimes we hear the word labor and we start thinking like, ooh, that's what you got to do when you done something wrong. But God created us to labor before the fall. Labor is not associated with sin. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Let's let the word work. Genesis chapter 1. And let's begin at quintessential verse, verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them rule. Let them rule. Underline the word rule. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule, there it is again, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, every tree which has its fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you and to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the sky and to everything that moves on the earth, which has life. I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Now go back to verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness and let them do what? Rule. Now, I need us to understand something here. God created man with a job, a three-part job. Be fruitful, be multiply, and replenish. He gave him a three-part job. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish. It included tending the garden. It included him taking care of his wife. It included all of that. But fruitfulness demands labor. Multiplication demands labor. Replenishing demands labor. Adam and Eve couldn't say, I've multiplied because I want to. They had to actually do the multiplying. Talking about replenishing wasn't going to replenish nothing. Being around other replenishers wasn't going to work it for them either. It's not like Adam and Eve could go stand next to two animals and go, well, because they're doing it, we've done it. That's not the way it works. Somebody, okay, in order for it to manifest for you, you have to say, God, am I doing my labor? And most of us are just talking about labor, trying to hang around other laborers, or just want to be laborers. It's uncomfortable, but it's the truth anyhow. And so we were created from the beginning with a job, and the job required labor. But here's where things get interesting. Undergirding all of that is the premise of rulership. And here's where things get interesting to me. Write this down. The laborer does not serve the harvest. Let that sit for a second. The laborer does not serve the harvest. Third time. The laborer does not serve the harvest. Somewhere in our thinking, as I wrote this down, God really began to convict me because when we, maybe just me, y'all all have done this better than me. I'm just going to say I'm the only one in the entire universe that has ever done it this way. But sometimes when I need something, I almost believe that I got to work for it. But that's not the way it worked at all. Everything that Adam and Eve needed was already there. They had to work it, not work for it. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. And I've given you all the seeds. I've already given you the seeds. Here's all the seeds. Work the seeds. In our mind, we go, I have to make an exchange of time for dollars. Okay, y'all. So I got to work for this as opposed to working it. See, when you shift your mentality that you have to work it, like I'm working the harvest. The harvest is submitted to me. The harvest belongs. This harvest is mine. And I have rulership over the harvest. Don't tell me what to do. Y'all. Okay, so if the harvest don't tell me what to do, my check don't make me happy or sad. Right. Yeah. Are y'all still? My emotions aren't tied to what I drive or don't drive. My emotions are not tied to where I live or don't live, because the harvest don't tell me what to do. The harvest doesn't tell me who to be. The harvest don't tell me how to treat people. Yes. Y'all not? So if your emotional state can be shifted based upon what you have or don't have, you have given up rulership over the harvest. So here it is that you think that making more money is going to make you happier. It's not. I just saw today, it's public knowledge. I'll leave her name out of it. There's a particular personality, she's famous, and her salary is $400,000 a year, and she's broke. She's broke. And so everybody was applauding because her new contract is now $1 million a year. But at $400,000, she's homeless, legitimately, and broke. So you can have a lot and still have nothing. Hmm. And so some people would say, oh man, what would I do with $400,000? Some of you would be in her same position. Because if you don't have $20 stewardship, stewardship not going to kick in with $20 million. Oh, it's the truth anyhow. It's just going to take you longer to be broke. But you're going to get there. The mentality has to come in like, wait a minute. I was created to rule, not be ruled by. Okay. I'm created to rule, not be ruled by. The laborer does not serve the harvest. Watch this. When you get that mentality, now you're making yourself available for more. You're not ready for more when you haven't understood I'm created to rule, not be ruled by. Because as soon as God knows that the harvest has power over you, he knows that harvest is dangerous, so you can't have it. As soon as he recognizes that you have learned that you have the power over the harvest, you just made yourself available for increase. See, some of us are praying for increase, but we haven't demonstrated to God that we have any increased potential, because everything we get, we allow it to make our chest stick out. Like, look what I got. No, you ain't ready. Because watch this. For some of us, what God designed us to have, you can't tell nobody. It'll just show. Amen. Come on now. And so we see right there from the beginning, rule. You're going to have to work, but the undergirding of your work is a rulership. If you don't work from a rulership place, work will be completely out of place in your life. You got to work. You got to go into work from a mindset of rulership. The best quote I heard from a preacher, you got to use what's in your hand to get what's in your heart. So I go into the time of work, whatever your job is, you go into the time of work from a perspective of, wait a minute, this job don't own me. The job doesn't own me. I'm utilizing this job for God's will. So this job doesn't own me. I'm coming into it with a rulership mentality. I'm going to get these resources from this job. And these resources, while they may not seem much to you, they're a whole lot in the hand of someone who submitted. Amen. Remember, David took the armor off and traded it in for a rock. He took the armor off, which was more powerful. It was more valuable, but it made sense to the king. But what was going to work for him was that rock. See, when you put something in the hand of the anointed, okay, it don't have to look the same. This is why you have people who are happier with less. Amen. And then you got people who got real money who don't have to look like money. Oh, okay. Some of us ain't been around no people with real money. Amen. Because the people with real money, you don't see no name brands. Oh, I'm going to come up off that. You don't see no name brands on people. I'm talking about real money. I'm talking about for real money. So I'm talking about serious money. I'm talking about serious money. Back in the day, old Jay-Z had name brands everywhere. New Jay-Z? Ain't nobody name on his stuff. Okay, go pull up a picture of Oprah. Go ahead. You tell me what designer she wearing. Go for it. Go on. You won't be able to tell. It's the ones that ain't barely got nothing. I saw a brother the other day doing one of those street interviews, and then your guy walked up to him. He said, "How much your outfit worth?" And you know, it's one of those you know, viral videos. And my man's, he looked like he was dressed to go trick or treating. He really did. And he said he had on some Balmain shoes. They was like platforms. They was like, you know, $8,500. They just looked crazy. And then he had on like 30 pair of underwear. I'm not even playing. He had on like 30 pair. And they was all different name brands going down. And it was 30 pair. His real pants didn't start to like below his calf. That's where his real pants was like below his calf. He had to waddle around. I'm not even exaggerating. My man's had on like 30 pair of underwear. And he was like, "I got about 1,000 in underwear." He had on like $1,000 of drawers. He was like, "You dripping with foolishness." Man, first of all, you're walking with about $10,000 of clothes on. Go get you a car or something. Jesus Christ. So again, you have to enter this time with a different mentality. Now, let's take this even further. When you don't enter the labor with a rulership mentality, the devil can get in your mind just like he got in Adam and Eve's mind. I'll do it again. When you don't enter labor with a rulership mentality, the devil can get in your mind just like he got in Adam and Eve's mind. How? Okay. First, the devil presented something to them as a harvest that wasn't theirs. Oh, come on. He presented a tree that was not even a part of their harvest and presented it to them as their harvest. So, See, when you don't enter with the right mentality, everything that somebody dangles looks enticing. Secondly, he took advantage of their lack of one accord and the dysfunction in their relationship. See, if they would have been on the same page, they would have been able to shut the devil down in the middle of his statement. But because they weren't on the same page and there was no communication, I just gave somebody a lot of marriage help right there. Because they weren't on the same page and because there was no communication between them, the devil was able to come between them. If they were one flesh, how did he make them two? Okay, I'll leave that be. Thirdly, he convinced them to use their rulership in an area they weren't authorized. You can eat this tree. You can. Now, they had rulership, but they weren't authorized for that tree. He was able to convince them to use their rulership in an area they weren't authorized. I put it in the practical. You can go out and you can start a business and start a clothing business. You can start the clothing business. You can design the clothes. You can get the website. You can put the clothes on the website. You can sell the clothes. Y'all with me? You're laboring. That brings in money. You're a clothes designer. All right. You can take that same mentality, go in to a store, pay off the manager, get you a box of their clothes out the back, that's stealing, put those clothes on eBay, throw the manager a couple dollars, put the clothes on eBay with a markup, and flip somebody else's clothes. You're using the same rulership in an unauthorized way. Y'all with me? Because if you can make money illegally, you can do it legally. Okay. Does that make sense? Okay. For those of us walking in the new creation, if we're going to be new creation laborers, we got to come into the understanding of what Jesus died for, y'all. Harvest doesn't rule us. You got to get to a place where you're like, you know what? Let me trade in working for simply working the harvest. It's a different shift that has to go on in your head. Because that's when you get, I got to go to work. I get to go to work. Shift your mind. I gotta go to work. Actually, you don't. There's no requirement. Now, there's a consequence. There's a consequence, but you get to. As soon as you understand that harvest, when I enter this harvest the correct way, there's a benefit. I'm just gonna work the harvest. I'm just gonna work the harvest. I'm just gonna work the harvest. I'm just gonna work what I have. It's gonna work what I have. Because there are people who are able to take the plot of ground and food comes forth. They neighbor got the same plot of ground, they just won't do nothing with it. So the differentiating factor is what I'm doing, what I'm putting in. Does that make sense? Go to Ephesians chapter 1, please. You got to understand your position in God and what God has made available. Look at what Paul prayed in Ephesians 1. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory in the inheritance of the saints. He goes on to say, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who do what? Believe. Toward us that believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Keep rolling. Which he brought about in Christ, which he raised him from when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Go back to verse 19. I need y'all to see something here. He wants us to know what the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his might. Keep going to verse 20. Which he brought about. That's past tense. Y'all do see that? Which he brought about in who? When he raised him. Didn't he already do that? When he raised him from the dead and seated him. Didn't he already do that too? Seated him at his right hand in the, and he already there? Okay, go to verse 21. Go to verse 21. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, just in case people thought it only applied to them, but in the age to come. Y'all see this? Look, verse 22. Verse 22. And he put, look at it, and he put, let's stop. So I've been talking about past tense. And then it says, now, he did this when he raised him from the dead. He already did that. Seated him in heavenly places. He already did that. And then he says, and he put, that's present tense, but present tense when he wrote it.
Right.
Not he will put.
Right.
Yeah. If it was going to say he will put, that would have been future tense. He put while I'm writing it. So as I'm writing this text, he's put all things in, how many things? All things in subjection under his feet and gave him. Wait. So everything is in subjection under his, capital H, personal pronoun relating to a deity. His there then refers to Jesus. So everything is under Jesus. Y'all with me so far? Everything is under the feet of Jesus. Are y'all here in this room? Everything is under the feet of Jesus. Are y'all here in here? So that means that there is no harvest that is above Jesus. There is absolutely nothing. There is no ruler. There is no thing you can buy. There is no emotional state. There is nothing higher than Jesus. Do we agree? All of that stuff is under his feet. There ain't no devil. Come on here. No demon. Come on here. You got to know your seat. Come on. You got to know your seat. We're approaching what we want from God as if we've already lost. Don't do that. I ain't gonna never get out of this pit. It ain't gonna never get better. Wait. He's already put everything in subjection under his feet and gave him his head. No, wait. Y'all like, but it's under the feet of Jesus. And this is when we start messing up our prayers. Lord, it's under your feet. It's under your feet, Lord. Get it, Jesus. It's under your feet. It's under your feet. It's under your feet, Lord. It's under your feet. Oh, Lord, I just thank you that it's under your feet. Huh? It's all things is under your feet. Well, wait a minute. Where are his feet? Where are the feet of Jesus at? Because you have to understand that this is anthropomorphic language. So wait a minute. Jesus is sitting down. Huh? He's high above. He's seated in heavenly places. Now, the text will tell us that I'm supposed to be with him. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm supposed to be with him in these heavenly places. Now, he's sitting down, and he's the head, and everything's under his feet, and he gave everything to the church. Wait. And this is when you get people messed up, like, I'm the church. You are not. No one individual can be the church by themselves. The church is a collective. It's plural. Huh? Now, these rocks, this building is not the church, but we as a collective are the church. No one of us by ourselves can be a church, because the church, the literal ecclesia, is a plural term. So everybody that wants to go off by yourself and isolate yourself and labor by yourself, and I'm going to do me, and I'm going to get my hustle on, and I'm going to grind, and I'm going to get mine, you have literally disconnected yourself from the promise which gives you the opportunity to get it. You can't get what Jesus died for alone. You're praying for stuff and then working by yourself because you think you're so deep and wonderful that you can get it all by yourself because you got a private tongue. Come on in this room. We got too many folks that don't want to work with nobody and be with nobody and be in community because your holiness is so grand, and you act like that when you lift up your hands, God don't smell your stench. All have sinned and come short of his glory. Every single solitary last one of us, all of us need to be grateful that he even woke us up this morning. All of us need to say, Lord, I thank you. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Don't you get so high that you forget where God brought you from. Come on, I'm going to teach you Sunday that the reason that Caleb was so powerful is because he didn't forget his origin. Come on in here. Huh? But some of us have. You've forgotten, that your dirty was dirty. Your nasty was nasty. Come on in here. You forgot that even the thoughts that people knew, it was worse than that. Come on, the stuff that came out about you, if they would have known the whole story, it would have been ugly. You mad about what folk know, but what about what they don't? Don't play me like that. Come on now, God has been good. God has been good. He's been so good that he didn't let it all out in the open. Come on in here. Come on, the stuff you was trying to cover up, that was the little bitty stuff, but if they really would have known. And the truth is, we do. So when somebody say, if it had not been for the Lord. Oh, yes. If it had not been for God. And so when I get to reading all of those things, he's put all things in subjection under his feet. And he gave all that to the church. Well, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of the church. Now, we got to understand, just because you done joined your local assembly don't mean that you're part of the church. Oh, y'all not in here, because we keep joining all the popular places, but we don't want to go where we're getting fed for real, for real. But we are now in a season. I feel you, God. We are now in a season where the idols are falling. Come on, Holy One. We're now in a season where the people that we've been bowing to for all of these years, God is raising up some people who are not afraid to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I'm telling you right now that idols are falling. All of these jokesters that's been all over the place, they're falling. And they're going to have to repent, because the Bible says every knee must bow. But I'm a witness that knees are about to bow in front of us. Keep playing with God if you want to. Now, 23. Oh, yes. Which is his body? Yes. Wait, the church is his body. The church is his body. The fullness of him. Wait a minute. The church is the body, the fullness of him. The church is the body, the fullness of him. Wait, the church is the body, the fullness. So you mean to tell me that when I go in the body, I should be able to get everything that he is? Huh? Ain't no room for your mean, nasty, cantankerous, unforgiveness tail in his body. No. You can't stay in here like that. Your bitter tail. Come on now. You can't stay in there. Amen. Bishop, did you say that? I did. Because some of y'all need to forgive and stop being bitter and stop hiding and tell the truth. Let that truth get you free. Amen. This is his body. Now, if everything is under his feet, which is his body, what I got to go get again? Y'all missed it. What I got to go get? I thought everything was already under his feet. What I got to go get? I don't have to go out there and get nothing. We don't have a harvest problem. He already gave me all the seeds. Got a labor issue. Oh. Huh? He got a labor problem. Part of the labor problem is we won't sow none of the seeds you got. See, a seed that is kept don't bring nothing forth. A seed that is kept don't bring nothing forth. See, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say it. Yep, I'm going to say that. I'm going to get that said. See, many of us want to see a particular behavior in people that you haven't sown. You're waiting on them to go first. So are you admitting that you don't have the seed? Huh? Are you admitting you don't have a seed for it? What am I supposed to do? Be saved. Be Holy Ghost filled. Sow it. I'm not going to sow it because they don't deserve it. Who say it? Who say, we don't deserve to have the seed. I don't deserve breath. You think I'm about to wait to be kind to you until you kind to me? Man, please. You can treat me however you need to treat me. Because last time I checked, I'm no better than Jesus. And until I got holes in my hands and holes in my feet, I'm going to be nice. Do y'all hear me? Because as long last time I checked, because this is why I'm not Jesus. Because the version of the story would have been real different. Because I'm telling you right now, soon as I got up on the third day, I would have been like, so y'all ran to the cave, huh? Y'all ran to the cave? Only people on the hill is Mary Magdalene. You let her up here to fool with the Roman soldiers? For real, Peter? For real? Like I didn't hear you denying me? I heard you, bruh. I heard you. Oh, it would have been awful. But here's the thing that got me. Then about a month ago, I was complaining about something. I know y'all don't never complain. But about a month ago, I was complaining about something. And the Lord said, do you notice that I never said nothing to Peter when I got up? If I didn't rebuke Peter for denying me, what's your problem? You right. You right. Come on now. You know that would have made the text. If Jesus, come on, he was right in his presence. Because it would have been the first thing some of us said. I can't believe you, cuz. Can't believe you. After all, I stopped you from drowning. I took care of you. Let you walk on water. Paid your taxes. I gave you the keys. And you had the nerve to say, come on, we're going to have to air it out. You had the nerve to say, you didn't know me. You don't know me. That's cool. Come on, how many of y'all willing to admit you would have aired him out? How many of y'all going to air out Peter? Y'all would have aired him out. Jesus didn't know. Which means, watch this, if Jesus didn't do it, I don't get to do it. Stop justifying your sin and covering it up with I feel. All right, in order to get to this place, I got to do three things. Oh, yes, God. I got to rebuke my love of laziness. Delusion? Sir, who? Huh? I think the mic's on. I got to rebuke my love of laziness. Number two, I got to observe the ways of proven laborers, not fakers. Proven laborers. Amen. Some of you are associated with the people you should be submitted to. Yeah. Uh-huh. Which one am I repeating? I'll go back to number one. Number one, I got to rebuke our love of laziness. Number two, I got to observe the ways of proven laborers, not fakers. Number three, I got to apply the principles. A book full of notes ain't gonna get you nowhere. It's not getting you nowhere. Huh? You got all these notes. They nice and categorized and all pretty. You ain't put none of them to practice. All them amens and waving of your hands and you still, you know, acting the same way. What you gonna do with all them notes? So I got to rebuke my love of laziness because some of us love laziness. You're in love with it. You adore it. As a matter of fact, you've lied to yourself and you've let yourself believe that laziness is resting. As a matter of fact, the book of Hebrews says, watch this, real rest, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 4, that you labor to rest. Yes. See, true rest is a state that you have to labor to get to. Yes. If there's been no labor, you don't even actually have the keys to real rest. Oh, come on now. You're trying to rest without the labor. And so if you try to enter into godly rest, but you haven't done the labor first, you are entering into something that requires labor illegally. The rest of the Lord demands labor. But if you want to get into something that God says takes labor, but you don't want to labor to do it, you're illegal. You're trespassing. That's what, watch it. You can sleep and never rest. The rest of the Lord demands the labor of the Lord. You can't enter into godly rest without coming through the door called labor. Now, the labor of the Lord is the will of the Lord, which means if you're trying to get to God's stuff your way, you're illegal. Yeah. Amen. Oh, yes. So I got to rebuke my love of laziness. I got to observe the ways of proven laborers, not fakers. And I got to apply the principles. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. I'll show it to you. Whew, having a good time. Y'all learning? Proverbs chapter 6. Oh, man, I got more verses to get to. Go to the ant. Go to the ant. And I said you got to observe the ways of proven laborers. Go to the ant. Old sluggard. Now, see, this verse ain't going to work for some of us because you haven't admitted that you're the sluggard yet. Huh? I told my discipleship cohort the other day that if there is no awareness, there can be no growth. So go to the ant, O slugger, observe her ways and be wise. Verse 7. Look at what it says. Look what it says. Have no chief, officer, or ruler. So if you're waiting on me to tell you, you're not mature yet. I should be there to correct, to guide, but I shouldn't have to tell you everything to do when you, watch this, when you say you're at a place. Especially if you get frustrated when I tell you the truth that you're not where you think you are. Come on now. If I love you enough to tell you the truth about where you're not, but you then come back and try to convince me that I can't see, okay? Then I'm gonna handle you according to where you think you are. Only to, okay. If the test says you don't belong in this class, huh? But you demand to be in the class, I'm gonna hold you accountable to the coursework of the class that you demand to be in. You could have passed if you would have let me place you according to your placement test. So your failure is all based upon your rebuttal. Oh, it's feeling good. Verse 8. Prepares her food in the summer, gathers her provision in harvest. Lord have mercy. Verse 9. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? Verse 10. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Notice, verse 10, these are all actions I'm taking. I haven't labored here. Right. I haven't done anything. I want to sleep. I want to slumber. I want to fold my hands for what? Come on, y'all act like y'all ain't never had one of them parents that when the kid be like, I'm so tired. Tired from what? Come on, y'all ever had one of them parents? Your kid get talking about, I'm so tired. I'll give you something to be tired about. I'll give you tired. I'll show you tired. Huh? Watch these baseboards. I'll show you tired. Verse 11, look at what he says. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. Lord Jesus, when you don't get this right, your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. Let me get this together. I got to rebuke my love of laziness, observe the ways of proven laborers and not the fakers, and apply the principles. It's not an invitation. This text in Proverbs is not an invitation to busyness or the hustle culture. No. This text is an invitation to focus, alignment, and promise. Focus, alignment, and promise. You know the text, what shall I render? That's what this is. You got to get up every day like, Lord, what you need? Because that's all I'm going to do. All I'm going to give you is what you want. Focus, alignment, and promise. Now, write this down, please. I got 15 more minutes. Jesus, keep me. Write this down. Godly labor triggers sustenance. Godly labor triggers sustenance. One more time. Godly labor triggers sustenance. When you do it God's way, he gonna take care of you. I promise. You do this thing God's way, you're gonna be all right. And when I say he's gonna take care of you, we don't serve a God of less than enough. It's not his character. We don't even serve a God of just enough. It's not his character. We serve a God the more than enough. Look at how my cup runneth over. That's the shepherd's promise. My cup runneth over. Why he gotta do that? Because he doesn't even consider that waste. Oh, Lord. God doesn't consider it waste to let your cup run over. That is feeling great. Because some of us is like, you could have took some of that extra and gave it to the next person. He said, I got plenty. Because there's not a harvest problem. Everybody's cup can run over if you let me be the shepherd. See, it's a submission thing, right? But to let him be the shepherd, then what I'm doing is I'm allowing him to be the head, which now makes me the body, which puts all things under my feet, which now allows me to enter into harvest as a ruler. Come on, y'all. But this means that I have to know who you are, God. Who are you? You're the shepherd, not me. I'm only going to do what you want me to do, God. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm going to do your will, and I'm going to do it every day. Amen. And when that happens, it's going to trigger sustenance. See, when you're out there hustling, making it work for you, then what you've really told God is, I don't believe that you're going to take care of me. So I got to take care of myself. And when we do that, what we end up doing is neglecting his will in exchange for whatever our desperation tells us to do. So here it is. And then we say stuff like, I don't have time to do that. So you got time to be disobedient. You got plenty of time to do what he don't want you to do, but no time to do what he called you to do. So you're going to complain about what you don't have, which is tied up in his will, while you continue to complain about wasting time on stuff that has none of your provision in it. Godly labor triggers sustenance. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you right now, y'all, that we're in a place, we're in a season of harvest. You start doing this thing God's way, it's going to trigger. It's going to trigger. I'm talking about super abundance. I come that you might have life and have it more abundant. That's what he came for. So watch this. If you're not operating in more abundant life, then you're not operating in what he came for. And if you're not operating in what he came for, either he's a failure or you're not lined up. Last time I checked, his track record is pretty stellar. So is us. It's a labor problem. You think God running out? The more that this word comes into my life, the more I'm like, Lord, I repent, but let's go. Let's get it. Because a lot of us, come on now, we done prayed for stuff he already gave us. It's like having the plate in front of you and your child still asking you where they're going to eat. You would be sitting up there as confused as all get out. Here's, so you ask your child, what do you want to eat? I want pizza and chips and this drink. What kind of pizza? I want pizza from this place, and you go to that place, and you get just the pizza they want. And you, what kind of chips you want? These are my favorite chips. You go to get their favorite chips, and you bring the chips they want. And then what do you want to drink? I want this to drink. You go get that, and you put it in front of them, and they say, I want pizza. Well, there's your pizza, and there's your chips, and there's your drink. I can't believe you didn't give me no pizza. It's in front of you. Why do you keep asking me for the promise? Because I'm so busy, so comfortable, so accustomed to complaining about lack that I'm overlooking provision. It's like Moses. How they gonna know? Oh my God, how they gonna know? Now, you're talking to a burning bush, bruh. But oh my God, how do, oh, he, ha, oh, ha, ooh. I mean, he's going in, all these questions. He said, what's in your hand? What have you been carrying around this whole time? I'm sending you somewhere and I'm not even gonna give you nothing new. Y'all, I'm about to send you somewhere with the same stick you've been carrying. You've had it the whole time, but because you never had an encounter with me, you didn't know what it was capable of. I'm not changing the stick. I'm changing your awareness. You've been walking around with the thing the whole time. Didn't even know. Everything you need for every promise of God is already in you. No. Yes. This ain't like the $3 million man where he's going to lay you down on the table and put you to sleep and you're going to wake up with new equipment. That's not the way this works. What you're going to do is you're going to get a new awareness, a new revelation of how to use what God already put in you. Does that make sense? Say, Thessalonians, y'all there? Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life. Y'all see this? Lord have mercy. That's just, yeah, never mind. And not according to the tradition which you received from us. Verse 7. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. Now see, it took me a long time to get this level of faith as a leader. But here's the thing. We're so used to having people stand up in front of us that we say amen to that we couldn't follow their example. Okay. Then now it's become an anomaly that you actually have leaders that you can actually follow. The reason that there's a submission problem in the body of Christ is because what we have done is fallen in love with the preaching style, knowing that the person who we're saying amen to don't live right. Sometimes we know the atrocity and we'll turn around and say, but they sure can preach. So can the devil. So you gonna follow him too? Because he can sing, he can preach. And some of the stuff we call prophesy, he can certainly do that. Huh? God said you're going through something. That's not prophecy. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. And here, let me say this too before I move on. Can people follow your example and not go to hell? If they do it exactly the way you do it, what they gonna get? Because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you. Come on, let me go ahead and lean on into this. I got 5 minutes. I'm taking all five of them. People say stuff to me like, Bishop, but that's you. And that's, you know, that's you. As if, you know, God gave me some different parts. No, that's not the way this works. Stop thinking I'm superhuman and just follow. This is not that. Guys, listen, I've made every mistake I ever want to make. I'm not trying to ever do none of that stuff again. But the reason that I stand before you the way I stand before you is not because I think I'm better than anybody, but I understand my seat. Do you hear what I'm saying? I understand my seat, and sometimes we may not like it. You might not like how I say it. You might not like what I say, but I'm trying to get y'all to see Jesus. This thing for real for me. I want y'all to see Jesus, and I don't want y'all to come in there all raggedy and scraggly. I want everybody to hear well done. But in order to do that, some of y'all gonna have to stop some of this foolishness that you do. Real talk. And sometimes it's gonna be like, I don't want to hear you. That's cool, because I'm willing to lose all the friends in order for me to make sure that me and Jesus is okay. Amen. I'm trying to raise up an army of people who will not compromise, because compromise is prevalent. We applaud compromise and we elevate compromise, and we done put collars on compromise and cassocks on compromise, and we done gave titles to compromise, and we got compromise as pastors, and we got compromise as bishops, and we got compromise, come on now, but not here. You know you ought to follow because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you. That ought to be labeled among all of us. Don't be undisciplined with your emotions. Don't be undisciplined with your mouth. Come on in here. Don't be undisciplined with those fingers making those posts. Stop being undisciplined with those outfits. Come on now. Get disciplined. Need God enough to do right. We're undisciplined, but you're begging for things that discipline demands. They demand discipline. Come on now. Don't treat God like we've treated our natural health. Y'all. You'd rather take a pill for it than do the work to keep you from the pill. Don't do God like that. Verse 8. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. I wasn't trying to get over on nobody. I wasn't trying to get over on nobody. Amen. Come on now. Exposure is about to hit God's church. Because he wants his church without spot or wrinkle. And there's a lot of people who trying to eat bread without paying for it. Okay, I'm going to come up. But with labor and hardship. Y'all see this? With labor and hardship, we kept working night and day. So that we would not be a burden to any of you. Verse 9. Oh, yes. Not because we don't have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you. So leave this up so that you would follow our example. Do y'all see this? Now, today I was watching a sermon. I was watching a sermon of a guy who was preaching some foolishness. Are y'all here? And so he was preaching some foolishness, and I was watching the sermon, and it was foolishness. And I was watching the people running up to him as he was preaching the foolishness and taking the money and throwing it down at his feet. And it was just throwing it, just throwing it, and throwing the money down. He was throwing the money down. And he's preaching some foolishness. I mean, it was tomfoolery. And they was throwing the money down. And then just throwing, just boom, throwing the money down. He had money all over the place. And I said, huh, ain't that something? So the people who actually got the word of faith ain't giving them nothing. But the people who preaching the foolishness, okay. And he actually said at one point, I'm going to take all this money. I'm going to buy me a jet. I'm going to go buy me one. Y'all keep giving because I'm buying me a plane. And we got pastors in this community. We got pastors in this city who don't have enough food. We feed people in this church. We feed the family of pastors in this church. Hurts my heart every time I see it. When I watch a pastor's family come into our food pantry, hurts my heart every time. But we prop up the charlatans. It's quiet in here. We got the right, because if we're really going to go with the text, if we're really going to go with the text, those who labor, the Bible says, are worthy of double honor. If we're really going to do the Bible up in here. So he says, we got rights too, but it's cool. It's cool. It's good. It's good. I'm going to keep working, and I'm going to show you a pattern. I'm going to show you a pattern. I'm not complaining, just working. This ain't complaint. I'm not up here complaining. I'm going to keep working. Y'all hear me? I'm going to keep working. And I'm going to keep working with joy, huh? And I'm going to let y'all see, oh, that's what work look like. And that's what prayer looks like. And that's what labor looks like. And, oh, okay. You know, the a couple of, on the first Saturday, one of the brothers, he was trying to beat me here. And he didn't. He didn't beat me here. Prayer started at 7. I was here at 5:45. I was here at 5:45 in the morning. I was here because, you know, I was already here. It was still dark outside. I was here. See, and I wasn't doing it to beat him. I was doing it to show the pattern. There was no complaint when he got here. When he got here, it was, good morning, how you doing? I was already praying for Israel. Y'all not in the room. I was already praying, and it was the day the war broke out, and I was already in prayer when he got here. I'd already been on my knees, because I can't lead you in prayer when I ain't been praying. See, it's a pattern. I can't lead y'all in fasting when I ain't been fasting. I can't lead you in the word when I ain't been in the word. I can't do it. And how many of us are trying to lead, but you ain't being led? How many of us are trying to get somewhere, but you won't put in the work? Verse 10, got to give up that love of lazy. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. Look at what he said. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. Lead us up. Now, let me tell you why this verse slapped me 2, 3, 12 times. Because we quote it wrong. I love the NAS. We quote this so bad. We say, if a man doesn't work, he won't eat, or he don't eat. No. That's not what it says. It says he is not to eat. Y'all missed it. If I'm not working, I ought to have enough dignity not to put my hand in the bread bowl. Y'all better treat it like a weed bag. Y'all done missed it. If you ain't putting no money in on this, you don't get to puff. Y'all can't, yeah, they playing too much. And so what the text, that's for real. So what the text is saying, if you haven't worked, why you keep reaching for bread? See, the truth is, many of us have never worked, but you're so used to eating other people's bread. You ain't never worked a day in your life. You ought not to eat. There's more dignity in you saying, I haven't worked. Then you can be offered bread. Y'all hear me? It's more dignity in, I didn't work. It's cool. It's cool. You can have some of my bread. But don't reach your hand in this bowl like you're entitled to it. Verse 11. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life. I love it. I'm telling y'all, some of us would have been messed up during these times, because I'm telling you, we need a letter right now. The whole U.S. need a letter. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Woo! Tell us, Paul. Y'all see Paul? Paul letting into him. He said, you ain't doing nothing at all, but you acting busy. That's like many of us do. I'm so busy. I'm so tired. I'm doing so much. I've been working so hard. Oh, man, it's hard out here. Doing what? What you been doing? What you been doing? What you been doing? What you been doing? I've been working hard. It's working. It's hard, hard. Okay. What you been doing? What you been doing? What exactly is working hard? There's a viral video out. I should have got it and given it to the media team to put it up on the screen. And it's a girl who's about to quit her job. And she's quitting because she can't believe that they've asked her to work from 9 to 5. And she says, you know, how am I going to have a life? She said, I have to drive there. They asked me to commute. That takes gas. I have to work from 9 to 5. They're only giving me a small lunch. What about my social life? I'm like, wow. But this is, watch this. That's where we are. And we're even like that with Jesus. Lord, I have to worship you? I have to come and assemble? Can I just send my check? Oh, you have a requirement for how much the check gotta be? That can't be God. There can't be no check requirements. Don't I get to give what I want? You can't count my pockets. Your pockets. Everything you have is mine. It's like your kids saying that's their room. It is not. It is not your room. It is the room that has been assigned to you. Every room in the whole house is my room. This is your assigned room. I'm giving you occupancy. Verse 12. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in a quiet fashion and eat their own bread. Verse 13, it's the last verse. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. So all of that is bringing us back full circle to our Numbers 13, which I'll pick back up on Sunday. Hear me. Give y'all a couple of things and I'm going to pray. I'm over time, but that's okay. We's in OT. It's all fine. It's fine. Good game. Good game. The harvest was promised, so nothing else should matter. Do y'all hear that? If God promised you a harvest, the harvest is going to happen. Number two, the laborers were sent to the harvest as leaders. They were sent as leaders. That means they were sent with a ruler's designation. Oh, we're going to come back to that on Sunday. When I get sent out and God calls me a leader, I got to act like a leader the whole time. The whole time. Don't you come down and forget what I designated you as when I sent you. Oh, man. Last. The laborers, and this is where many of us are right here, allowed themselves to be scared out of harvest. And when you allow yourself to be scared out of harvest, you reject and forfeit the promise. You reject and forfeit your designation. If you give up on the harvest, you give up on the promise of the harvest, and you give up on what I called you to be. That's why so many people searching for identity now. I'll leave that be till Sunday. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the challenge. Let us hide it in our heart that we may not sin against you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless y'all. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.